ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2 Translation and commentary. Wait, which verse? Text 41. Hare Krishna. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tato gunebhya atmanam Viyujyatma samadhina Yuyuje bhagavad dhamni Brahmanyano bhavatmani Tato gunebhya atmanam Viyujyatma samadhina Yuyuje bhagavad dhamni Brahmanyano bhavatmani Verse translation. Ajamil fully engaged in devotional service. Thus, he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. Purport. If one worships the deity in the temple, one's mind will naturally be absorbed in thought of the Lord and his form. There is no distinction between the form of the Lord and the Lord himself. Therefore, bhakti yoga is the most easy system of yoga. Yogis try to concentrate their minds upon the form of the Supersoul, Vishnu, within the heart, but this same objective is easily achieved when one's mind is absorbed in the deity worshipped in the temple. In every temple there is a transcendental form of the Lord, and one may easily think of this form. By seeing the Lord during arati, by offering bhoga, and by constantly thinking of the form of the deity, one becomes a first-class yogi. This is the best process of yoga as confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam, Apisarvesham, Madgatena Antaratmana, Shadhavan Bhajate Yomam, Same Yuktatamo Mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The first class yogi is he who controls his senses and detaches himself from material activities by always thinking of the form of the Lord. This narration of Ajamil's deliverance, not only from material existence, but from impending severe punishment for having committed severe sinful activities, is all an explication of the very important instruction given by Shukadev Goswami in the beginning of this sixth canto. It's a very important instruction, which is one of the key themes of, or brings together two of the key themes of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Aghandam Vanti Katsneena Neharam Eva Bhaskara. Only by exclusive devotional service, Kevala Bhakti, We sing that daily. Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma. The lotus feet of the Guru are the abode of Kevala Bhakti, means unmixed bhakti, pure devotional service. Now, this is a major theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that pure devotional service, without any admixture of personal desire, only by pure devotional service, being fully attached to Vasudeva, Krishna, one can be relieved from all sinful reactions without leaving any trace. And the example given in this verse is that of the fog being dispelled by the rising sun. Any attempt to dispel the fog by any man-made effort cannot be successful. But when the sun rises, then automatically the heat of the sun dispels. Of course, it has to be hot sun. In the land in which I took birth in this time round, and sometimes also here in Vrindavan until late in the morning, the sun rises, but from our feeling, our sensation, our experience, is not very hot. We say the sun is hot. The sun is not very hot today. The sun is always hot, but sometimes it doesn't heat up enough to clear the fog. So the sun's up, but the fog is not dispelled. So the sun has to be intense sunlight will dispel the fog. It's done by another agency, not done by ourselves. When Krishna bestows his mercy on us, then the fog is cleared. So taking this analogy, we might think that, I'll just wait for Krishna's mercy. There's nothing I can do. Analogies, they often bring out one point that is being stressed at that particular point without, it doesn't necessarily give a comprehensive picture of a whole complex situation. Ajamil, as is well known, I presume, by all of you, was saved. What was he saved by? By the chanting of the holy name, chanting of the name Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. He was saved by Krishna, by Narayana, who responded to his chanting of Narayana. So, and the acharyas, they comment that because in his previous life, before he became very sinful, he had cultivated devotional service very seriously, then Narayana had impelled him, had inspired him without him even thinking much about it, without thinking of any devotional reason. He named his last son Narayana. And when in great fear at the end of his life he called out the name Narayana, at first thinking of his son, then he also, it gave him a flashback to his previous life and his faith in Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the Vishnu Dutas came and saved him from being taken away by the Yama Dutas and gave him he got a further lease of life, and that is being described here. Ajamil fully engaged in devotional service. So he had another lease of life. He wasn't immediately delivered. He wasn't immediately taken back to Godhead. But he went on and performed devotional service. So, svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatau bhayat. This is also, this important statement of Bhagavad Gita is also demonstrated. At the time that Ajamil chanted Narayana, it was It was very little devotional service. Of course, devotional service is unlimited, so even one little bit of devotional service is far more than all the efforts that all the people of the world put in over all, from the time of creation to the time of destruction. Everything put together, it's all shrama evihi kevalam. It's all completely useless. Whereas even a little devotional service is far more significant. Even a touch of devotional service is far more significant than all the activities of human society put together. But anyway, Krishna, he uses the term svalpam, very little. So we can do also. That means quantitatively, we may not. It may be just very little that one does. And there are many examples given in Shastra, many examples. The rat who, hungry rat, went in the deity room and there was a burning giwik. He was hungry, so he wanted to eat the giwik, but the ghee went on his whiskers and then his whiskers burned and he was in pain and jumping round and round. And in this way, with the flame, he was performing an arati for the Lord and he died. And he went back to God. That's a case of svalpam. That's not even knowingly. One performs devotional service. And there's also the bird being chased by the fox or whatever, circumambulating the deity, then collapsing and going back to Godhead, because the last thing he did was circumambulating the Lord. So little devotional service can save one from the greatest danger. The greatest danger can be understood in various ways. For Ajamil, it was a very dangerous situation. For everyone, it's a very dangerous situation. What do you think? You got your walking evidence of padam padam yad vipadam natesham. It looks like you got some kind of medical apparatus on your foot or ankle, something like that. Anytime anything can happen in this material world. But whatever happens, it's not good unless it's Krishna conscious. So Ajamil was famously saved by chanting the name of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada in this purport, he describes about deity worship. When speaking on this section in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada spoke, when lecturing, consecutively lecturing on this section, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes very much the value of chanting the holy names. Of course, deliverance from material existence is just the, as Haridas Thakur said, that is an anusangik phal. That is a byproduct of chanting Hare Krishna. That liberation from material existence, which is aspired for and strive for with great difficulty by persons who are not Krishna conscious, is very easily and automatically achieved, even without thinking about it very much or even without striving for it, by persons who are devotees of Krishna. So I said there were 2 points, that kechit kevalaya bhaktya, two important points of Bhagavatam. One point is that devotional service should be pure and unmixed. And another point is that only that can fully purify one. So this purport, Srila Prabhupada stresses on deity worship, and he gives the comparison with one who is worshipping the deity with the yogi. The yogi, a proper yogi, first class yogi. Yogi is one who meditates on the form of Krishna. Jnana Atmani. What is that? Jnana Atmani. Jnana Vastita. tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha yogina. That the Supreme Lord, who is praised by Brahma, Rudra, and so all the great demigods, who is praised in all, who is the purpose of the all the Upanishads, he is seen in meditation by the yogis, unto that yasyanta nevidu sura suragana devaya tasmai namaha, to that Supreme Lord whose the end of whose glories is not understood by the anyone in this material world, whether they're devas or gods or asuras. So the yogi is one who meditates on the form of the Lord, and in bhakti yoga, one, by worshipping the deity, then one is not simply meditating on the form of the Lord, but practically engaging in many activities throughout the day in the service of the Lord, caring for Him, looking after Him. It may seem very strange to persons without knowledge of the process of bhakti or what bhakti is, that we can care for the Lord. Mostly people, they pray to God, you care for me, but in bhakti yoga, one cares for the Lord as a, just like a child. He needs dressing, he needs feeding, needs to be fanned in the summer. Nowadays you have electric fans. Electricity takes away our opportunity to perform service. And then heater should be made. We have to think what foods to give him in the summer, cooling foods in the winter, heating foods, and so on. In this way, one becomes a first-class yogi by always meditating on the form of the Lord. Meditate how I can serve nicely, how we can always maintain the service at the best possible standard. So that's Srila Prabhupada remarks here, that one may easily think of the form of this form. It's the easiest system of yoga. Because it's much easier to engage in activities in the service of the deity, always engage. It's variegated activities throughout the day, rather than trying just to keep the form of the Lord in one's mind and meditate on that without any particular activity, simply appreciating. So this deity worship is first-class yoga. Although Ajamil had chanted the holy names of the Lord and been delivered by that, then he, this is stated here, that he went on and engaged in devotional service. Specifically, deity worship is mentioned here. Ajamil fully engaged in devotional service. Thus, he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Thus, he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification. That's it. You just, what do you do? What are you doing, Krishna consciousness? Well, you give up sense gratification, and just like you brush your teeth in the morning. I gave up sense gratification. It sounds very easy. Maybe easier if we had the Yamadutas coming and chasing us. And many of us may have taken to devotional service having had similar experiences, maybe not as intense as Ajamil, but the tendency is to forget. We have such experiences that we feel, I have no shelter but Krishna. So we take shelter of Krishna, and then we find, well, there is Maya also. We don't even say that. We don't even think that. Maya offers herself to us. And if we accept Maya's offer, then we don't become fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. Even if we're fully engaged in devotional service, there is the possibility of fall down at any time. As Ajamil was previously, in his youth, fully engaged in devotional service, and coincidentally, it seems, or accidentally, he became attached to the idea of enjoying his senses. But this time he was conscious that I have to become free from the process of sense gratification. We might think, well, what can an old man do anyway for sense gratification? So better you enjoy sense gratification during life, but when you're old and you can't enjoy it anymore, then you become serious about devotional service. We may think like that. But sense gratification can go on in the mind even of an old man. Or an old woman, for that matter. We don't want to be sexist here. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of Paris. He'd been to Paris and seen that old men who are not capable, not physically capable of utilizing their body for gross sense gratification, they pay large sums of money to go to a club where there are naked women. So they're still trying to enjoy in the mind that which they cannot actually physically do. Srila Prabhupada also in one conversation described that his, I can't remember exactly, I think it was the grandmother of his wife, she would encourage him, his young wife, she would encourage the young, newly married Abhay to engage in sexual acts with her granddaughter. Why don't you grab her breast? Like this, Prabhupada related. So even though she was past the age of being able to enjoy personally, but she was interested that, well, others can enjoy. I'll enjoy mentally by seeing them enjoy. So it's not that just by growing old, one becomes automatically free from thoughts of sense gratification, which maybe others who are physically getting that other way can also confirm if they're in the same situation as myself. It's not just that by growing old, one becomes free from the thought of sense gratification, but that is required if we are to become fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. Sometimes it's said that simply by performing devotional service, one can become free from the, automatically, one becomes free from the thought of sense gratification. Just automatically one gets liberation. But then part of devotional service is also to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which the main message, or the highest or central message is of Krishna, love of Krishna. But also there are many instructional sections and verses which remind us of the uselessness of everything else except pure devotional service, and of the entanglement and pain of trying to engage in sense gratification. So part of devotional service is also, a major part of devotional service is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam, within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many narrations to remind us as we're going on. We're performing our activities in devotional service, but unless we are consciously aware and always careful in this regard, that sense gratification is not our goal, is not in our own interest, it's against our self-interest, then we may not come to the point of becoming fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. We may not come to that point. We may go on with devotional service and not advance very properly. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example of the boatman rowing the boat at night, wedding party. In times up until not so, until fairly recently, in Bengal, especially in East Bengal, a common system of transport, if one has to go some distance, is to go by boat. There's so many rivers. And often people like to go at night, you save time, and it's cool compared to the heat of the day. So a wedding party got in a boat. That means they were going to another place, to a wedding, and the sun set, and the boatman started rowing. They woke up the next morning and found they were in the same place. He said, "What happened?" "Nothing happened. We're in the same place." And the boatman said, "But I've been rowing all night." And then he saw he'd forgot to untie. The boat is tied to a post, which is hammered in the ground. So he'd forgot to untie the boat. Of course, no experienced boatman would do such a thing, because he'd realize just by the feel of the oars in the water that he wasn't going anywhere. But anyway, the example is given. We can go on with activities in devotional service, but not make any real progress if our mind is still attached to the process of sense gratification. This is a very heavy topic for all of us to consider. Sometimes we think that heavy topics are talking about animal slaughter and gender roles, and all, but a heavy topic for all of us is if we're actually getting free from the thought of sense gratification, which can can be very gross. Sexual fall down seems to be Maya's standard trick. It's nothing new. It's known, well known by Maya to be it's the one that most fall for. But there are also subtle attachments to sense gratification. Even if one is fully engaged in worshipping the deity, there may be sort of some pride in how nicely I'm worshipping. My worship is the best. Others are appreciating. And this can be in all areas of devotional service. Just even some subtle sense gratification, then it's not really devotional service. It's not really offering everything to Krishna, but it's making a show of offering to Krishna, making it seem as if it's very devotional, so that one will be appreciated as being devotional. And it can be so subtle that one's not even aware of it. So how tricky is Maya? How can we get free from this? Well, it's a commonly asked question, that how this kind of question, how can we be sincere, how can we be detached, how can we know we're making progress? Well, we have to understand the process of devotional service very well by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in all details, 12 cantos. Yesterday morning, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrit Swami gave a very pleasing, charming narration of Krishna's, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna on Gopashtami. So that's very pleasing to hear. Shrinu Sukadam Shubhadam Bhavasara, for us who are in this material world, it's very pleasing to hear such narrations, and very auspicious to hear also. But we also have to hear the entirety of the message of Bhagavatam to understand in detail what is the process. And of course, again, it's not simply a mental or intellectual process. It's not simply that by getting Bhakti Shastra degree or Bhakti Vaibhav degree that one's actually understood anything at all. because it's possible there are people studying in universities who are openly, they're not even pretending to be devotees. They study it because they've got to study something and teach something because it's a job. Some people study butterflies and some people study international relations and some people study Big Bang Theory and some people study Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavism. It's a subject to be studied. But they don't make any advancement in devotional life, nor do they even believe in the possibility of advancement in devotional life. For them, it's some anthropological manifestation. So our devotees hopefully are not like that, but sometimes the extreme is used to make a point. Some extreme example is given because the subtle point may not be easily understood, so it's enlarged, and then it becomes supposed to be easier to understand. So, and even there are some in India, at least I know one pandit who's not Gaurīya Vaiṣṇav, but many Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavas send their disciples to him to study. He's from Sri Vaishnava Sampra, because he knows the philosophy of Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavism better than any of they do. So I'm making the point that we can know the philosophy theoretically, but not take it in, what is that? Chitete Koreya Aikya, not make it one with our heart. Make one with our heart means that we live it at every moment. Living it at every moment, physically and mentally also. This might seem quite complex. For those who are pure devotees, it comes automatically. Mother Yashoda doesn't think that now I have to feed Krishna, because it says, he said in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toya, okay, let me do it. But she automatically, spontaneously does. She has no thought. She doesn't have to get a Bhakti Shastra degree. She's already beyond that. So spontaneous devotional service, but for those of us who are not on that level, it is very useful and very much required that we understand what Śrīla Prabhupāda referred to as the science of Bhakti Yoga. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana is the science of devotional service. That means to understand Bhagavat Tattva, to understand who is Bhagavan, what is the meaning of the word Bhagavan, who is suitable to be called Bhagavan? What is the meaning of bhakta? What is the meaning of bhakti? What is kevala bhakti, pure devotional service, as distinguished from mixed devotional service? This is all other processes that might seem to be very beneficial for human beings. Other processes that are specifically karma, jnana, yoga, they are recommended in Shastra as being very beneficial for human beings, and they are. It's not that they're not beneficial, but it's just that their benefit is insignificant compared to that of pure devotional service, and the only real benefit that comes from them is that it may become a stepping stone to devotional service, but it may also become an obstacle to devotional service if one becomes attached to such a process, or if one doesn't distinguish between pure devotional service and mixed devotional service. One may be performing devotional service but with some material desire. We all perform, except those of us among us who are beyond that level, but mostly in this material world, mostly those who are performing devotional service do so on the platform of not being completely free from material desire. But one can still be performing pure devotional service if one's aim is clearly to be on that platform. Then the example is given of an unripe mango and a ripe mango, or a green coconut and a fully ripened coconut. It's on the way. It's just time is separating. But if one is cultivating material desires, if one does not consciously detach one's mind from the process of sense gratification, then one can go on in devotional service and Bahu Janma Kore Jadi Shravan Kitan Tabu Tanapai Krishna Pade Premadhan. One can go on many lives like this and not actually come to the point. So it's very heavy, no doubt, to consider this, but we require to consider this. There is a special concession. There are many special concessions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the special concession. Haren Nama, Haren Nama, Haren Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalau nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. That only by Harinam. Only Harinam is the only way in this Kali Yuga. So you may think, well, let's just sit down and chant. Then we don't need to do anything else. That's also a misunderstanding, because that's not what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. That only the holy name means that the holy name is the only process, but also as deity worship is recommended here in this purport, and deity worship, Jiva Goswami, who became the mouthpiece of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, he wrote in great detail all those teachings extracted from Srimad Bhagavatam. He stated that deity worship is all, even though chanting Hare Krishna is the means of, even though it's sufficient, but most people require to perform deity worship to regulate their lives, to help purify their lives. So we may think that, well, I'll just chant Hare Krishna. But then when we stop chanting Hare Krishna, then we engage in impure activities. Or impure means not impelled by pure devotional service. You may say, well, I'll just go on chanting all day. But then we don't. We're not on the... Even Srila Prabhupada didn't even recommend us to try to do that. He said, we're not fit for that. We're not fit for chanting Hare Krishna all day. If here in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada warned that if you think you can just sit and chant all day, then you'll think of women and money and go to hell. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also warned against so-called nirjan bhajan, isolating oneself and just to chant. He said it's all cheating because we're not actually on that platform. So we have to... apart from that, even we see Haridas Thakur, he also engaged in preaching activities apart from chanting. He found time also to preach Krishna consciousness. So we require, it's not just, well, this is the Prakriti Sahajya idea. You chant and that's all. That's all you have to do. So in the meantime, if you, just like you want to eat, you eat. You want to sleep, you sleep. You want to have sex, you have sex. That's their idea. You do whatever you want. If you're chanting, that's it. That's the perfection. If you get taste for the holy name, that's perfection. Their idea of taste for the holy name is if it sounds very musical and if they do some theatrical dancing, and that is taste for the holy name. So they got some serious misconceptions by which, because they're not fully focused on pure devotional service without any desire other than every thought, every action, everything I do, everything I say is only for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna te kila cheshta. Everything should be for Krishna's satisfaction. If we don't have that, or if we accommodate the idea that any little sense gratification, it's all right, just let it be, then good goes to bad, and bad goes to worse, and we can end up with deities being shown as a means of making a livelihood, speaking on Bhagavatam as a means of livelihood, or to impress others, kirtan, professional kirtan, people thinking that a really good kirtaneer is one who enlivens us, and so someone who's got a good voice and good at playing music, and they know how to sing in such a way that gets everyone jumping around, and so this is a good kirtan. So we have to fly them in here and there and pay them a little for their expenses, and we have professional kirtaneers. And eventually, if you don't keep that focus very clearly on pure devotional service, free from sense gratification, then we end up in danger of ending up or being already on the way to or being already prakriti sahajiyas, mundane persons who have no clear conception of devotional service, because although they're doing what devotees should do, it's also mixed up grossly. Gradually it'll be just gross and shameless, because they don't recognize any difference between devotional service and what I want to do. So I was saying the concession, how we can go through despite all these mines put by Maya, all these obstacles put by Maya. Jahara Prasade Bhai. By the mercy of, we sing daily to Srila Prabhupada, Narottam Das sung to Lokanath Goswami. If we can get the mercy of a pure devotee, then even though it's impossible for us to, it may seem impossible to get the mercy of Krishna, but we can do, by the mercy of great pure devotee. But that mercy also we shouldn't take very cheaply. We should remember also that Srila Prabhupada, he was constantly instructing his disciples, telling them what should be done and what should not be done. We should be cognizant, know what these teachings are. The Guru is not a blessing machine. Bless me. I'll do devotional service, what I like, as I like, how I like, when I like, if I like, and you just bless me, and that will. But the Guru is, his blessing is his instruction, by which we learn that our real self-interest is in doing what Krishna likes. We have to learn what Krishna likes and how we are to serve him with an attitude that is devotional service. Otherwise, we're in a very, very dangerous... Actually, we're always in a very dangerous situation. Hare Krishna. Not in danger, as long as we're engaged in devotional service. So we should aspire for that, to always be engaged in devotional service, physically and mentally, and giving ourselves fully. Atma Samarpan, Atma Nivedana, giving ourselves fully to Krishna. So Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment, please? Yes, please. There's a question just here.
Thank you, Mark. You spoke about the danger of sense gratification and how it's a very, very weak subject, the process of giving up sense gratification. And I noticed in my own personal devotional life, as I progress in devotional service and I successful at giving up different levels of sense gratification, but I find that the sense gratification becomes very subtle. And one of the things that I've been noticing coming up a lot is this sense of entitlement, that just because I have some position or I have some whatever asset.
Seniority, maybe?
Seniority, yeah. That, you know, this, I feel this is like a, feels almost like a disease of entitlement grow within my heart. And I know you've given, you know, a little bit of, you know, instructions how to deal with these things, but I wonder if you have anything specific in mind that might help one deal with such an
Yeah, seniority. One is supposed to be humble Vaishnava, but then in Vaishnava society or in human society, juniors are supposed to respect seniors. So as a senior, that automatically comes to you and me, and we it should also be there. But we can become entrapped by the sense of thinking that actually I deserve some respect. How to be free from that? Therefore, it's always very useful to hear, remember, study the teachings of Shastra and of our acharyas who help us with all these things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he warns that in the cultivation of the creeper of devotional service, while we're pouring on the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna, the weeds may grow up and choke the actual plant of the creeper of devotional service. And the weeds, they might look like the actual plant, so we can't distinguish between them. And he warns against nishedacha, that means just breaking the principles. Kutinati, this duplicitous behavior. Jive hingjan, this being envious of others. But then more subtly, the desire for labh, puja, pratishta. The desire for monetary gain or wealth or property. I need a little room of my own for devotional service. Now I need two rooms. Now I need a palace. Now I need an empire. Maya works like that. In puja, the desire to be respected. And pratishta, desire for position. So I warned against that. Vishnu Chagvar Thakur, in his Madhurya Kadambani psychological analysis, how it's relatively easy to give up gross sense gratification, but it's difficult to give up subtle desires for sense gratification. Myself personally, I find it very helpful to meditate on how insignificant I am, because I always think about myself. Everyone does. It's just the way we are. It's the way Krishna made us. Everyone thinks about themselves. It's not very easy to think about others. But atmopam yena sarvatya. What is that? Atmopam yena sarvatya. Samam pasyati yojuna sukham vayadi vadu kam sayogi paramo mataha. The best yogi, Krishna says, is one who sees that others are just like me and they suffer and enjoy like me. So, but always thinking about oneself, but then considering how totally insignificant I actually am. We actually have to we should just understand that, but we have to philosophically think. One anecdote that I've been repeating quite a lot for the last half year or so. In Dublin, in Ireland, Rath Yatra, I was there a few months ago. I saw one devotee was distributing this book, Chant and Be Happy, which has on the cover a picture of Srila Prabhupada and John Lennon and George Harrison. So I asked the devotee distributing, do the young people nowadays, they know John Lennon and George Harrison? He said, well, most of them have heard of them, but they're not very interested in them. And for those of us of our generation, how big were John Lennon, especially, more than George Harrison, how famous they were. And now they're just, for John Lennon famously said, now we, the Beatles, are more popular than Jesus. But Jesus is still popular, and John Lennon is forgotten. And it's like that. Amitabh Bachchan, such a big figure in all of North India. In South India, they hardly care. But if you go outside India and say Amitabh Bachchan, no idea. And even if you explain that he's a Hindi movie star, what do they care? So even if you become as big and famous as John Lennon or Amitabh Bachchan, it's completely, even at the time when they were famous, it was completely meaningless anyway. Because what does it mean to be Shravidvara Horstra Karai Sanstuta Pashu Purusha Pashuhu? Then the word, what is that? What is the next line? See, I'm growing old. Nayat Karna Pato Petas Jatu Nama Gadagraja. Gadagraja Prabhu, is he here? God brother Gada, he's here in Vrindavan. So persons who are like hogs, dogs, camels and asses praise those who don't praise Krishna. How small we are. How insignificant we are. And how illusory it is for us to think of ourselves as being very significant. Even in the Vaishnav world, Krishna never forgets, but there have been so many big gurus and big preachers. You just try to serve Krishna. That's all. If our service is to guide juniors, that's Prabhupada's mercy. But otherwise, often people ask me, how can I become humble? I ask them, well, what are you proud about? Whatever it is, it's foolishness. To be anything but humble is just foolishness. That's the foolishness that keeps us in this material world. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sarvotam apanake hinamani. One who's actually the best devotee, he thinks himself very low. Because that's actually our constitutional position, is to be very insignificant. But Krishna likes his devotees, and so one who becomes a great devotee is very much recognized by Krishna, and Krishna says, Mad bhakta puja vadika, my devotees should be worshipped more than me. So we become more than God because Krishna makes us like that. But who's the topmost devotee? He understands, actually I'm completely insignificant. Who is that sarvottama? In the material world, the biggest person is the person with the most money, the most girlfriends or boyfriends, and big house. People are crazy. They make so much effort to make money just so they can drive in a big car and show others. See, you have a 2 lakh car, I have a 2 crore car. And they think it actually makes them more important. It's so foolish. It's amazing how foolish people are, being concerned with respect and honor and all this. But who's actually the topmost? You might not understand. So Sanatana Goswami is sitting with the touchstone and chanting Hare Krishna. And Noah, he was quite happy chanting Hare Krishna. Who cared for him? Just chanting. Before he'd been a big minister, and giving orders, giving grants, and taking fines. And then he was just happy to chant Hare Krishna. So the topmost devotee, he's not at all interested in it. Anyway, that's my answer. How to overcome this desire which may rise in our heart for being respected. Just realize how ridiculous it is. And actually everything, every desire is ridiculous except the desire to serve Krishna. We can learn this. It's cultivating this. It's all foolishness. Everything. Okay, we should finish now. I just came across something, a four-word sentence by Srila Prabhupada, which, it's another one worth meditating on. Pleasure is a misconception. That's it. The whole material world would have to change if they could understand this. Pleasure is a misconception. What a statement. Of course, spiritual pleasure is reality. But in this material world, pleasure is a misconception. Whatever we do, every moment we're doing for pleasure, it's all a misconception. The whole world is in Maya. Good sutra. Pleasure is a misconception. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Gaunitai ki jai. Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai. Dalita Vishnu. Yes, you're clapping. I'm such a great speaker. I'm so wonderful. Now you realized it. You're making advancements.